episode 31 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, I am a different host for you. I am Stephen Rudkin here, bringing you a slightly changed version to our normal weekly podcast. Our regular host and commissioner across our leagues, Roger, is not with me this evening. Not figuratively, always with me, just on the airwave. So we've had a few issues this week in terms of various social lives taking precedent, and both of us actually having a little bit under the weather weeks. We're not going to call it man flu, but trying to catch up on some sleep amidst this NFL season, which takes its toll around normal working schedule, and trying to find the time for us to both be coherent and with it to record a weekly podcast has been a bit tricky. So I'm going to bring you a shortened recap of the current action across our leagues and the NFL. I will see how I go in a solo mission, see if I can keep this as informative and as fun as our podcasts always are when there's the two of us interacting. So just some housekeeping to start with. Remember, this podcast covers our three fantasy football leagues, Move the Sticks, the Pipe and Slippers Dynasty, and the Hall of Lame League. So this year we're focusing on all three of those. You can follow myself and Roger and this podcast on Twitter, is our usual social medium. I am at Stephen Rudkin, that's Stephen with a V. Roger is at Roger M. Kirby. Don't forget that M for his middle name, which is Matthew, for everybody out there. And the podcast is at Pipe_Slippers. Sadly, somebody else beat us to at Pipe and Slippers, so here we are. We have week two in the books. I am recording this on a Saturday evening here in the UK. So we are a little under 20 hours or so to go until the main action kicks off on Sunday at what is always 6 o'clock British summertime for the 1 o'clock Eastern kickoffs over in America. So ahead of week three kicking off, we've obviously had Thursday night matchup in the books where the Giants beat the Redskins. I'll come back to that a bit later on. But the best place for me to start is to look back at week two quickly. A few notes that I wanted to just comment on myself. We normally would cover our takeaways. I think one of the key things that I would take away from the action that I've been seeing so far is takeaways, in terms of being a large number of interceptions, turnovers, fumbles, kind of unfortunately almost somewhat mistake-laden football, should I say. So I'm just trying to look at some numbers. We look at the 32 games so far this year. You've already had 54 interceptions and 48 fumbles which have been recovered by the opposition. So that's 1.5 fumbles a game, 1.75 interceptions a game. I was trying to compare these to previous stats, and it's just, it's a little bit higher than it can be. Not glaringly high, but I mean, you take one team, for example, who are making a big change in this, and the reason why, the Jets and Gangrene are 2-0. If you look at the so-called wonderful and brilliant Rex Ryan defense that he's meant to be running there in Jets in the last couple of years. You take 2014, for example, they managed just 6 interceptions and 7 fumble recovery turnovers over the course of the entire season. Todd Bowles has come in from Arizona, and yes, there are a number of personnel changes, but still a lot has to be said about the way Bowles is running the defense, and you already have 4 interceptions and 6 fumbles turned over and recovered by the Jets. So they have literally matched albeit a couple of interceptions, what they did in 2014 in just two games. So that's a big reason why the Jets are 2-0 and took down the Colts last week in that shock result. And I think if you look just across the league, I feel like you end up watching these games and feel like this is almost what I would call pre-season form. These are the type of things you should be wrinkling out over the pre-season matches, but it's kind of a very different pre-season concept in what is a contact sport compared to the type of things you'd see in, say, soccer, rugby, or even cricket over here. The errors tend to get ironed out and you hit the ground running in week one a little bit more, when it feels there are so many errors being made in terms of silly penalties and costly mistakes. Of you look at Thursday night football this week, for example, the Redskins and Giants were a flag-laden game. Some would say the officiating is being a bit tight, but I really don't think so. There was just various silly kind of plays and flags being thrown, like Reed getting that pick play which cost the Redskins being able to make a third down and having to punt away. Then you had that whole situation with the Jennings running into the kicker, but that could have been a nice break for the Redskins, but there was then the other penalty against the Redskins, so they were offsetted and they were still stuck where they were. So you watch a lot of the games, you always get a bit frustrated. There's quite a few errors and flags coming in, but some positive things to look on. We just also looking at some of the numbers, there's some shocking things almost that you just wouldn't have expected coming into the season, that of week two, and we get these overreactions happening, but the Cowboys have the best run defense in the league with just 53 yards per game over two games. Obviously, some additions there are really improving things, but not something you would have expected coming off last season. Furthermore, nobody was really expecting the Redskins to be the best yards against defense after week two. However, their 360 they gave up against Eli on Thursday night means they've now dropped down to fourth in that. But again, their rushing game has been quite impressive. Matt Jones looking like the real deal. Should have really had a touchdown last night when he lost control of the ball, but a great play there on the Giants' defense. The Redskins, obviously 170-odd yards per game, were leading the league, but after the 88 in Giants on Thursday night, they're now out of the top five. So it's these type of things. You look at these stats after 2 weeks and you think it's a snapshot and it's the way it's going, but then suddenly a bad week and it will level itself out and even itself out. And I think there is a lot of overreaction going on, and myself included in the fantasy world, I trying to resist not completely flipping my roster on its head and throwing the draft out the window when all my teams sit 1-1 now after two games, and things happening in the fantasy world a little bit differently as expected when you come into the draft. I mean, the fact that you sit here ahead of week three saying the Colts, Eagles, Saints and Seahawks are all 0-2 combined, you just wouldn't have expected that. I wonder what the odds would have been on those four teams being 0-2 all together. So this is why the NFL is a great game to watch, and how it's exciting and ever-changing, that it's an even playing field a lot of the time. And we could carry that on to the Pick'em results that we've been seeing. So we've got the Pick'em Pipe and Slippers League we have on NFL.com. I mean, partly the reason I'm bringing this up is we go back to week two and the results of the 13 guys that have signed up for the league. There is a Stephen Rudkin at the top of the lead for week two. But sadly, it was only an 8-8 picks record for the week that led our group. this isn't just a slight on our group, but this is the way it was seen across all the so-called experts on the NFL.com site and across all the leaderboards. A very peculiar week of results. Obviously, the Jets taking down the Colts in Indianapolis was one of them. The Bucks going into New Orleans and winning. Quite a lot of other games which were very 50-50 almost. A lot of people had the Bills taking down the Patriots, who went in there and killed them. So 8-8 took our picks for the week. We had a number of guys in at 7-9 and 6-10. Sadly, my esteemed colleague Roger, according to the record here, only has 4 picks correct, but he had some technical errors, so we have to check. He's got 2 results, the Falcons Giants and the Chargers Bengals, which didn't get logged into the computer, so he could have possibly had a 6-10 week. You'd have to find out what his picks were, honestly, for the Bengals and the Giants 2 games. But as we stand, overall, that 8-8 week keeps me 20 points, should I say, ahead of Old Man Strength. So that's Wyatt's picks. And our friend down under, Anthony, also on 230. So a number of guys, just 20 or 30, so 2 or 3 picks behind myself after week 2. And we will track this going forward. Obviously, we will tweet out the link again to joining our group. We have 13 users in here, but we'd love to have a few more. So that's the Pipe and Slippers Podcast Pick'em League covered for week 2. I think it's now about time for me to run through the results across all of our 3 leagues from week 2. So we'll start with our Move the Sticks League. It's in its second year. And the results for week 2 are the fact that Roger may have put the podcast curse on the D-Train. We highlighted the matchup last week. The D-Train have been heavily scoring all last regular season, scoring over 100. This week they fell short with 97 points, and my big brother and his team, the Rudders Niners, took down David 127-97. So maybe this is a podcast curse. The one that we highlight and pick on ends up being a bad omen for whoever we highlight. So the D-Train couldn't manage their high-scoring run and fell short. But both teams there moved to 500. And in the same division, we have Jeff's Fanatics. They beat out New York Bozos, 97-94. A blob by Kobe Fleena on Monday night meant the Bozos could couldn't catch the Fins up. But all teams sitting out 500 in that first division. So moving on to the second division in that Move the Sticks League. A match that went back and forth between Scratch and Sniff, and I made a huge mistake, which is Roger's team. It was a tight game throughout, going back and forward, but Scratch and Sniff have moved to a 2-0 record and take top spot in the division, thanks to a 101-85 finish, with Eric Decker being the key to help Scratch and Sniff pull away on Monday night, with 15 points there for Decker. In the same division, the Eskimo Bros database fell to a 2nd straight loss to Mansell and his Cowboy Crusaders. So Crusaders had an easy win, I would say, as the Eskimo Bros only limped to a 76 score for the week. So Anthony sits 0-2 down under. As we move into the third division, Old Man Strength has carved out a 2nd win in a row to go to 2-0. 97-88 over myself and Go Bias Industries. In fact, it was Old Man Fitzgerald who spearheaded Wyatt's team into top spot with those 29 points there for Larry up in Soldier Field against the Bears. So we there have Wyatt in top spot, and Danby's Lagers beat out the woefully low-scoring playmakers from Texas and Tony's side, 71-55. So the Lagers now sit at 500, and Tony sits 12th overall across the division. So Anthony and Tony have got some catching up to do, as they both sit 0-2 in the Move the Sticks League. If we move on to the Hall of Lame League, we have 8 teams at 500, and again, 2 teams who went back-to-back to record 2-0 records, which is Gronk If You're Horny and Bootzilla, and 2 teams who sit 0-2, so the same respective standings as the Move the Sticks League. And yes, James and the champion from last year, Gronk If You're Horny, took down myself, 95-88. So, in a rematch of last year's championship game. And in our same Division 2, Unruly Moustache, so Anthony, picked up a win in this league and smashed the G-Men, 122-65. So he moves to 1-1, G-Men to 0-2. Anthony was helped out greatly by the big day by those Steelers boys against his beloved Niners. So a bit of a bittersweet there for Anthony, but Big Ben and number 84 obviously combining for 57 points combined on the week. So that's Division 2. Back in Division 1, we have all 4 teams at 500. As Dylan beat Aaron, 90-59. And the Real American Americas team has now got a 4-1 career record over the Magicians Alliance. So this league's in its third year now, and Dylan's got a 4-1 record over the Alliance across those years. Henrik, our second year player from Sweden, got off the schneid and picked up a win, 98-61, over those slightly less intimidating intimidators this week from Texas, and that is Tony's team. So he is 1-1. Moving on to the third division, our podcast host, normally not me, but Roger, slipped to his second loss in this league to Bootzilla, who stand at 2-0, our newcomer, Michael, that is. 102-89 was the result. I think the Macclesfield Mannings are desperate for the return of number 26 there in Pittsburgh to help his side. And then we have Neville, who bounced back from that abysmal week one performance to record a 76-57 win over Zach Stacey's mom. So they both sit 1-1 in the Division 3 of the Hall of Lame League. If we move on to the Dynasty League, our Pipe and Slippers named league, we have the Honey Badgers and Roger going to 2-0 with a 105-99 win over Matt's Lombardy Slap. So well done, Roger. We have James with the same team name in this league, Gronk If You're Horny, 0-2. So mixed records so far with James, 2-0 in one, 0-2 in the other. Lost to Silent Assassin, 117-103. James was caught out, as many have been across the various leagues, myself and Roger included, with the lack of production from Sam Bradford, who, with the Eagles' shaky start, has been somewhat confusing across the fantasy football landscape. We have the X-Factors, also went to 2-0, so well done, Tony. One of your teams is performing, at least. 114-71 win over the One Cheddars. Who would have thought that the combination of Tannehill and Allen Robinson would lead a team to victory? But I guess that's what took place and highlighted the matchup from the last show. The Minions, who lost woefully 51-75 to our Sharkies 1 down under. I say Minions, but Bruce keeps changing his name. We were once the Minions Terror, and then, I don't know, something else, Minions, whatever, but now we are Crunch Time. And although in the interim, we also had a West Coast Eagles name in there, which Anthony has taken great dislike to. It's quite outrageous, in fact, that Bruce feels he can change his team name 4 times during the course of a week. So he now has a West Coast Eagles Australian Football League emblem, which I guess we will allow for now. But his team, sadly, are 0-2. Again, that matchup being highlighted in last week's podcast did him no favours. And he lost to the Sharkies from Down Under. So that leaves us with the Slippers division to cover, which is where all 4 teams sit 1-1, which includes Kenny. He deflated some balls in Anthony's compromised underpants. Quite an interesting team matchup there. It was the closest game across all the leagues. We had a 104.1 to 103.9 win for Kenny, so 0.2 over Anthony's men. And finally, Dave did give out the candy to the baby by beating me 105.81 to leave oneself at a sad and disappointing 0-3 record across the leagues for the week. So my team's not faring well in week one, but after 3 wins in week one, sorry, and 3 losses in week two, we sit 1-1 across all my leagues. So that rounds up all of the results. This is where I'd normally hand it back over to Roger and we go on and discuss the NFL landscape. So at this point, though, we are going to move on to some award nominations, which I'm still letting Roger decide on the winner of these. So I will run through the 5 or 6 nominations in each category for week 2. So moving on to the awards, we have in the Move the Sticks League, Wyatt for playing Fitzgerald, moving him into his roster. Obviously at 29 points, but the more important thing about this with Wyatt is it wasn't just one move. It was 7 times. 7 times he moved Fitzgerald either in or out of his lineup during the period between week two. 3 pages of transactions on the website for Wyatt in between a week. So that just goes to show how many times Wyatt is tinkering, ad-dropping, moving players in and out of rosters. Whether this is some way to confuse or trick the opposition coming up against him to think, oh, we might win this, and then he changes it all. But no, I'm not really sure what goes through Wyatt's head. He has meltdowns maybe on a Thursday and switches everybody out and has a hunch then on a Friday to put everybody else back in. So Wyatt playing Fitzgerald is one move. We have Scratch and Sniff, as we mentioned earlier in the results, brought Eric Decker into his lineup, scored 15 points, brought him into his flex, and that was the 15-point margin to win over Roger. Then in the Hall of Lame, we have the move by Bootzilla to also pick up Fitzgerald off the free agent pile after Henrik, in fact, let him go the week before. So I'm sure Henrik's kicking himself up there in Sweden for letting Fitzgerald go. The other nomination from the Hall of Lame is Dylan, who early on Sunday morning, I believe, decided to play Gio Bernard, put him into the lineup instead of Duke Johnson. I guess there was no real reason to think Bernard would have much more production with Hill still there as the number one back in Cincy, but he scored 14 fantasy points with the kind of Hill being benched really for some ball security issues. So good move by Dylan to see the future and see that Hill was going to be sat on the bench that afternoon. We have the Pipe and Slippers League nominations. Roger, in fact, for switching his quarterbacks and going with Kaepernick against that Steelers secondary, who scored 26 points over Alex Smith, who was obviously up against that stout Broncos D, so wise quarterback tinkering for Roger. And then we have Kenny for playing Carson Palmer instead of Matt Stafford. Kind of a bit of a toss-up here, I guess, but Palmer was on the road. But the difference was, really, that Palmer had 1.8 extra points than Stafford, so not much. But when you consider Kenny beat Anthony by 0.2, a very, very important 1.8 there in that crucial quarterback switch. So there's five nominations there. Sorry, six. So we'll see who Roger picks. He will be making his pick known, and we will post these on the league websites in a message post. So you can get the breakdown of them here, obviously, as you're listening. But the awards will be announced when I get the envelopes opened, so to speak, from Roger after he sees this list. The mistakes, so that I've made a huge mistake award. The nominations this week are in the Move the Sticks League. Both myself and Roger, some joint defensive faux pas. In fact, after we talked up the importance of defense last week in fantasy, myself, I dropped the Vikings after their poor week one showing, played the Ravens, thinking they could have a go at Derek Carr and the Raiders. It didn't work out. The crucial point was, though, the Ravens scored -1. My Vikings, I could have stuck with, scored 8. That's a 9-point change. That would have led to a 0.02 victory over Wyatt. So, clutching at straws there, really, but my defense change ultimately cost me that win. And for Roger, the same thing. Ended up playing the New England defense, who scored 13, so not bad, but he switched out his Denver defense, who scored 21. On first thought, not such a bad matchup decision. However, the fact was Roger flip-flopped back and forth 3 times, I believe, during the week. So his indecision ended up kind of costing him. He could have stuck at any point with the Denver, but kept changing his mind, going back to the Patriots. So myself and Roger for our defensive faux pas is one mistake. In the Hall of Fame, we have Aaron. Amazingly outscored his entire active roster with his bench. 87 points sat on his bench as opposed to 59 in his active lineup. It would nearly have got him the win, I believe. Let me just double check that. It would have brought him within 2 points of the Real America's American team. But 87 points on your bench, Aaron, including Cam Newton, 27, D'Angelo Williams, 27, and Michael Crabtree, 17. So basically some poor decisions there for Aaron all over. And in the Pipe and Slippers League, we have mistakes for Anthony for flip-flopping over Moncrief, who ended up scoring 18 for the Colts, points that is. He changed him in and out a couple times, but ended up going with CJ Spiller, who didn't score very well at all. Could have been the difference there for Anthony. The fact that he changes in and out, like Roger did with his defense, is why I see it's a bit more of a mistake when you end up not sure which way to go, and you end up going for the wrong option. So the final mistake we have is Crunch Time, the new team by Bruce, is to play Brian Hartline, who scored 0 there for the Browns, over Golden Tate at receiver. He scored 8 points, not the biggest difference, but I just find it quite a shocking move to leave and move someone like Golden Tate, who's a number 2 receiver for the decent Lions offense, out of his lineup over the choice of Brian Hartline. Maybe he thought he would be Johnny Football's number 1 target, but obviously it was Benjamin, so a bit of a mistake there by Bruce. And one final honourable mention, shall we say, in the awards for mistakes. I just wanted to point out that Tony stuck with Mike Evans in all 3 of his teams across our leagues. High on Mike Evans this year, Tony is, but those hamstring issues and the way they've started there using him with the Bucks has meant he scored zero across all three. So Tony picked up a win there with the X Factors, but to have played Mike Evans in all three when there was real doubts over his hamstring and him playing is a little bit of a boo-boo there for Tony. So just wanted to point out that he got zero in all three of your teams. So that about rounds up all our nominations, our Pick'em Leagues, our results across the three leagues. We obviously have week three to look forward to. I hope we all enjoyed Thursday night football. I guess much of the same really for the Giants and the Redskins, in terms of the Redskins kind of came back down to earth a bit as to what we expect from them. And again, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of mistakes, and kind of sums up Gruden's time in there so far in Washington. But and for the Giants, obviously we know that they could be a potent passing force, and they've got a nice collection of running backs there as well. But there's something about these last couple of years in the Coughlin regime that just isn't quite right there. Their scrimmage lines on both sides of the ball are really, really just quite disappointing. Particularly that defensive front wasn't really a match for the Redskins at all. But surprisingly, the Redskins struggled to get the run game going, partly because they got behind early and had to pass it a bit more, and turnovers didn't help. But I think if you felt Redskins kept to the running game a little bit more, they could have done a bit more in that game. But that was Thursday night in the books. We have all the games to look forward to tomorrow, so I hope you enjoy this different solo mission from myself. I hope it wasn't too dull and monotone for you all. And we should resume normal practice after week three's action is in the books, with Roger back on the podcast. So from myself at Stephen Rudkin on Twitter, this is me signing off for the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 31.
I've been sipping a tea.
This is not turning out as well as the others.